our world is filled with human wisdom, human ways of doing things. And God has proclaimed and wants it clearly understood. In the Garden of Eden, He made us, and the word upright means straight, level, and righteous. Of course, we all know if you build a building and it's not straight and it's not level, you're going to have nothing but trouble. For some reason, man delights and takes great pleasure in rebelling against God's laws. For some reason, the fact that God has said this is wrong makes man want to make those new ways of doing things. And we see it very quickly. We see in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 that the schemes of men had led to every imagination of the thoughts of men's hearts being evil continually. It led to the earth being corrupt before God. Of course, the word corrupt has the idea of what happens to fruit or an animal as it decays. The smell, the stench. The earth was filled with violence. This is what the schemes of men lead to. All flesh had corrupted their way. This is what the schemes of men have accomplished. We see the schemes of men in the world today. In marriage, the schemes of men have created divorce. They have created abortion. They have created unhappiness, broken homes, very, very terrible situations because of these schemes. And so these schemes have led to darkness and the shadow of death. Jesus came to bring light back into the world. As He said, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. When your eye or your attitude or your disposition or how you look at things, what you think is important, if it's in the darkness, your whole body is full of darkness. That's what happened in Genesis chapter 6. It's what's happening today as we watch the world become darker and darker as more schemes of men replace what the scriptures teach. We see how evolution has affected what God has revealed as the means by which He created the world. And so on and it goes. As the world is filled with the schemes of men, we see more and more grief, more and more sorrow, more and more broken. Men love the darkness rather than the light. Because of that, aimless conduct is handed down from father to son, from mother to daughter. And it continues, and it will continue. Professing themselves to know God, they became vain in their reasoning, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. The reason I'm dealing with this in this manner is because the world has greatly stigmatized God's man and God's woman, God's husband and God's wife. And we're always under persecution, temptation, to let our light or even our conduct become what it shouldn't be. You know, God knew children don't have any choice in their parents. Some get godly parents. Some get ungodly parents. Some get loving parents. Some abusive parents. Some have good examples. Some have bad examples. Broken homes ruled by schemes. Emotionally damaged people married to emotionally damaged people. Ask any eldership. Ask any preacher who has gone out and tried to counsel these people and realized what we're up against. And so, scarred, damaged, broken people. Maybe some of us here were among them. Didn't have good role models. Didn't have a happy childhood. Have some emotional damage. We don't always respond. And we don't really make a good husband or a good wife Because our responses, our schemes of men, our responses are skewed. Wives unhappy. Husbands bitter. It's all over the world. It's in the church. And so God wanted a means to help these people. He's sympathetic to our plight. And he's designed the gospel so that those of us who do have this baggage and do have these damages are met with grace and mercy and an opportunity to grow above it. And of course, the quicker we get out of it, the happier we're going to become, the more successful we're going to become. And I think just as importantly, because I've talked about this several times, and we can give our children a head start, or we can give our children a deficit that they may never be able to overcome. You've met, I've met people who deeply regret how they raised their children, doing the best they could, but doing it poorly and badly and wrongly. A successful, straight, level, and in the light marriage is only going to be found through the guidance of the scriptures and through the guidance of Jesus. Jesus is the perfect role model. We talked about this last week in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, because Jesus is the perfect husband and the church is the perfect wife. We don't need a role model from this world. The way that my folks did it or your folks did it, even if they were godly people, it may not be right. If we can't see that we're still in the darkness, we'll never know where we're going. That's why we have a perfect standard of light. While Jesus was here, he said, while you have the light, walk in the light so you can become children of light. Well, Jesus' intent was to give that, make it permanent. We have the light. When you read something in the scriptures that you don't think is true and you will not submit to, just keep in mind, you're under the influence of the schemes of men. You're in the darkness because God gives his commandments for our good. He's trying to get us back to level. He's trying to get us back to straight. He's trying to help us so that everything we do will be successful. Because the schemes of men, like I said, as you look back at the history of the world, the more schemes of men entered the world, the quicker the world was corrupted and God had to destroy it. The more corruption, the more schemes of men entered into Israel, the more quickly they degenerated into a pagan culture where violence again became normal and selfishness and the selfish use of people. So we need a complete break. We can't count on our upbringing. We can't count on our culture. Matter of fact, we need to be suspect. We should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, both because of ignorance and because of prejudice, the blindness of their heart. You can show them the scriptures, but they can't see it. They can't comprehend it. Hopefully, that's not me and that's not you. Put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Well, how do I know which part of me is the old man? How do I know which normal ways in which I respond are the right ways? Put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt. Do you see some of these words that we saw back in Genesis chapter 6? Their understanding darkened, growing corrupt after deceitful lusts. Be renewed. There's a better way to do things. God has given us the perfect way to live as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child, as a co-worker, as a customer. Put on the new man, which was created according to God. Now, that's how we originally created it. Now we have the opportunity, as Peter says in 2 Peter 1, to become partakers or to have fellowship in the divine nature again. But it's going to take a lot of work because we're blind. We're prejudiced. We're ignorant. That's not an insult. It's just the truth. We can't fill our mind quickly enough with what God has revealed and God will give us to make us successful. So, if we want to come from darkness back into the light in our homes, husbands need to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. That's all I'm going to read out of this verse. We're going to go through each section of this verse. But it's not the natural response, the way my father treated my mother, or what I feel is the right way to respond. How do I know if that's darkness or not? If your eye is darkened, if you can't see because of your attitudes, because of your instincts, because of the way that you perceive the world, which is wrong, every response, the whole body's going to be full of darkness. Every response is going to be wrong. We're never going to be happy. We are never going to be successful because the schemes of man will always lead to corruption. So it's not the natural response. It's becoming a doer of the word and not just a hearer. You know, the hardest place to practice Christianity is at home, in the privacy of our own home, where we can be real. I think that's one of the reasons that God said that elders must rule well their own home, because if you can't take care of your own home, how are you going to take care of the church? And so as we look at this, we're going to see how important it is. You've seen this chart before. We used it when we went through 1 Peter a couple of months ago. The word kata means in proportion, according to the measure of. I've got knowledge on this side and I've got my conduct on this side, and they always equal out. In other words, I'm always doing what God wants me to do. And so what knowledge are we talking about? Well, everything the scriptures teach about human relationships should be practiced at home if we want a successful home. Turn the other cheek and go the second mile. Can we do that at home? Or are we always on edge? The slightest thing that a spouse does, it might not even be wrong, it's just you just don't like it. Well, at home, we feel like there's no consequences. At home, we feel like we're married for life and we can pretty much do what we want. What's he going to do about it? What's she going to do about it? But the Lord says, dwell with them according to knowledge. As you grow as a Christian, you should grow as a husband. As you grow as a wife, you should grow. I'm sorry, if you grow as a wife, yeah, you should grow into being a wife. Repent and confess your sins one to another. How often do we mistreat one another and never quite get around to an apology? I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have acted like that way. Do we think that we don't have to repent at home? We can sin at home? Some parents sin in front of their children, but they're too embarrassed to apologize to their children. That's wrong. If you sin in front of your child, you need to repent to your child. Well, we say that. Make it right as far as you made it wrong. If you sin in front of somebody, repent to that person and to God. Confess to that person and to God. And to our wives and to our husbands. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. How often do we stay angry? 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. That ought to be practiced in the home. The wife should receive the first fruits of the fruit of the Spirit. As we grow in love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control, Peter says, bring that into your home. We can do that. Before we give the invitation, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Is there anything you need to go home and take care of? You know, your wife is listening. I do this in Malawi all the time. I say, your wife is listening to this, hoping that you're going to take it to heart, hoping that those areas of discomfort and misuse will be repented of, and the fruits of repentance. Do we think we can go before God on the judgment day acting like that at home? And God's going to say, well, it was in your home. At least it was in the privacy. I don't particularly like that term, the privacy of our own home. Because oftentimes what that means is I'm going to do something that I shouldn't do because it's in the privacy. I've heard people say, you know, you can drink alcohol in the privacy of your own home. They think, well, how can you sin at home? And God's going to say, it's okay. It isn't the stigma of doing the sin, it's the practice of the sin that is wrong. And so if your wife is not receiving the first fruits of your growth, or if you're not growing at all, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's see ourselves clearly. Let's get out of the darkness. This is not appropriate. This is not the way that husbands are the head of the home. I'm the head of the house. I can do whatever I want. You just submit. What a terrible attitude. What a worldly attitude. What a broken attitude. When the kids see that, they see a woman crushed down under the mistreatment and abuse of a husband. You think that it's not going to be a problem? Honor the wife as a weaker vessel. You know, a lot of people bristle at that. I'd like to talk a little bit about it. Do we know what a simile is? I didn't know what it was, but I looked it up because I wanted to know what it means when you have a noun, an as, and another noun. So, sweet as honey. Does that mean I'm honey? No, it doesn't mean I'm honey. It means I'm sweet as honey. Smooth as silk does not mean that we are silk or that we're even talking about silk. Brave as a lion, busy as a bee. What do we mean by that? Well, it's a simile. It's a proverb. Jesus used them. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Is he calling me a serpent? No, he's calling me to act like a serpent. Well, wait a minute, a serpent's a terrible creature. Yeah, but there's one thing about a serpent that Jesus wants us to look at. And there's something about a dove that he wants us to look at. Faith is a mustard seed, a single attribute in the point of comparison. So when we say is a woman is a weaker vessel, what exactly are we saying? Well, I think the basic concept here is the schemes of men exploit women. We see it in the Muslim religion. We see it in many of the Eastern religions. They exploit women. Jesus says, I want you to treat them better. I want you to treat them like they're weaker than you. Is he saying they're weaker? Well, we'll explore that a little bit. I'm not so sure that he is. If he is, it's a very limited context. But I think if we just say, I want to treat my wife as precious, special, and fragile. Well, she is special and she is precious, but I'm going to treat her like she's fragile. Maybe she's not. Maybe she's tougher than I am. That's not, I don't think that's even in the consideration. So the honor that we give to the wife is like as, even as, or exactly like a fragile vessel. Does that mean she's a fragile vessel? Well, does cunning as a serpent mean they're a serpent? Does harmless as a dove mean they're a dove? A weaker vessel is fragile. It needs special care. Usually, just in one area. My cell phone is so powerful. If I want to find a place to go, I just type it in and it takes me there. If I want to see what's going on in the world, if I want to call someone, if I want to text someone, it's the most powerful tool we have for communication. The computer is very powerful when it comes to learning, when it comes to writing, when it comes to finding things, when it comes to spreadsheets. You couldn't find something more powerful, but don't drop it. So, how do I treat my computer? like it's precious, like it's special. Do I see it as weak? I don't see it as weak. I just see it as fragile. A car is powerful, but the interior and the exterior, that's fragile. I treat it with care when I park, especially if it's a brand new car. I'm going to park, try to find a parking place where people aren't going to open their door into it because it's fragile. Does that mean it can't take me where I want to go? Does that mean it hasn't any power? No, it has complete power. Fine china, precious crystal, objects of glass, very strong in beauty, form, and function, but you treat them like they're fragile. A wife is to be treated with more care and concern, protected, honored more than any of these things, as a most precious possession. So, what is the point of comparison? Why is Peter saying, honor your wife like a weaker vessel? And again, I think the point of comparison is priceless, precious, of great value. In a later slide, I'm going to talk about chivalry. Remember chivalry? You remember the knights? You remember how they would treat a woman? Who was it? Sir Francis Drake? I don't know if it's even true or not, but he took his coat off so the woman wouldn't have to walk through the mud. That's a weaker vessel. Did she need that? Well, probably not. It's an attitude. It's a way to treat a woman like she's precious and special. We don't treat them like they don't have any value. Well, what about being equal? Well, women are not weaker when it comes to the soul or the dominion. Let us make man in our image. Well, that's the male, right? No, it's not the male. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So God created man in his own image, male and female. Women have the same soul we do. Women have the same dominion we do. Male and female, he created them, blessed them, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. A woman has just as much authority over the material creation as a man does. And a woman has the same soul as a man does. When it comes to the reward, we're heirs together of the grace of life. Co-heirs, joint heirs, equal heirs. There's not going to be a difference in reward on the judgment day for a man or a woman as long as they're faithful in their domain. There is no male or female when it comes to the benefits of Christianity, the rewards of Christianity, and the responsibilities of Christianity. The only real point of comparison, if it's there, I'm not sure it's there. But I think most commentators I've read, they see it as the physical weakness. Most men are physically stronger than most women, but it's not always the case. Some women are stronger than men. Some women could beat their husbands up. But they should still treat them like a weaker vessel. Always treat women with respect, care, concern. It's why we open the door. It's why we let them go first. It's why we carry the groceries. It's why we do the things that we do. And of course, some of these things women don't want anymore because of the schemes of men. But that doesn't change the fact that that's what God wants us to do. So it doesn't really have anything to do with the actual position. Here's the conclusion I've drawn through the years. Man works in the present. Women work in the future. Role's not any different. Women lead singing with their children. Women can preach to their children. Women can lead prayers with their children. Women can do everything that men can do in their home for the future. Man work with the present. I think it's a very wise plan. If men were so busy with the children that they couldn't go into all the world and preach the gospel, they couldn't go out and do the things that sometimes need to be done, it's not going to work. God made man upright. He had a plan. He created man and he created woman so that they could fulfill that plan. Women work with the future. They're the nurturers. They're the childbearers. They're the ones who prepare. You know, I look at Moses. I know Moses' mother is the only bridge between him and the man he became because Pharaoh's daughter only taught him the wisdom of the Egyptians. Timothy was told by Paul, your faith dwelt first in your grandmother, and then your mother. And the only reason I'm taking you with me is because it dwells in you also. Women work with the future. Everything men do in the present generation, women do for the future generation. When they both do their role, the church is going to be secure in the present with the work of the men and in the future with the work of the women. Now, which one's more important, the future or the present? I don't think we could choose. So it doesn't have anything to do with the actual position. So men, treat your wives according to knowledge. You give them all your Christian growth. You give them your love, you give them your joy and peace, you give them the fruits of the Spirit, you give them the self-control, you give them repentance, you give them confession. Husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel. Now, the word thee in there is not there in the Greek, so I don't know why they did that. Giving honor to, and it's not woman, wives isn't in there. You see that parenthesis there? That means it's not here. It literally reads, husbands in like manner, dwell according to knowledge, giving honor to your wife. That's how it reads in the Greek. And it's a weaker vessel, not the weaker vessel. The weaker vessel takes us in the wrong direction. It changes it from a simile into a fact. I don't know why they did that. Because Paul or Peter did not do that. The Holy Spirit did not do that. As joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end or for the purpose that your prayers be not hindered. The word hindered means to cut off. It means to cut in. Was used of impeding persons by breaking up the road or by placing an obstacle in the path. This was this classic stumbling block. If we don't treat our wives according to knowledge, if we don't honor them as a weaker vessel, treating them fragilely and cautiously and carefully, it's not an insult, it's a blessing. But the schemes of men, why are you treating me like this? I'm just as good as you are, I'm equal to you. That's not the point. The point is, the man is supposed to treat the woman as a weaker vessel. But, as I say, limiting it because they're also joint heirs of the grace of life. When we stand before God on the judgment day, our judgment is going to be equal. If as a husband I did what I'm supposed to do, then I'll receive the grace of life. If my wife does what she's supposed to do, she'll receive the grace of life. There won't be any difference. We don't have the right to treat women as second-class citizens or wives as second-class citizens. If we do, don't pray. Because God's not going to hear it. He's going to cut it off. He's going to impede it. This is going to impede. This is not lifting up holy hands without wrath and disputing. It's just the opposite. That's what God does with a prayer of a husband who refuses these things. So another chart that we gave. And again, these Greek prepositions, the more we understand about the prepositions, prepositions are used in almost every verse because they have to do with relationship and direction. So we can go into the house, on the house, over the house, under the house, through the house, in the house, and our mind flips. I know exactly what over the house means, through the house, under, on top of. This is the into. Give honor as a weaker vessel into your prayers not being hindered. If you do this, your prayers are going to be hindered. If you don't do this, your prayers are going to be hindered. This is the Greek word between repent and be baptized and remission of sins in Acts 2:38. How do we debate on that? If you don't do repent and be baptized, you can't have remission of sins. If you don't treat your wife with honor as a weaker vessel, your prayers are going to be hindered. Greek word praes means entering into. This morning you did that. You were outside, you entered into the building. How did you do it? You opened the door and walked in. If you don't do that, you won't get in the building. If you don't give honor to your wife as unto a weaker vessel, your prayers are going to be cut off. It's not my words. They're not Peter's words. They came directly from the Holy Spirit, who got them directly from Jesus, who got them directly from God. So if we follow Jesus as our role model, then with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. That's how we grow as a Christian. We read it out of the scriptures, we bring it into our lives. You remember what James said? If you're a hearer only, it's like a man looking in the mirror and then straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. Well, same thing with scripture. Right now, you can probably see yourself about as clearly as you're going to. Then we go home. It slips away. Our wives are hoping. Man, I hope he gets it this time. I hope that this time he will change. And what a crushing disappointment if we don't. As Christians, we have an unveiled face. We have direct access through prayer, through our attendance of services where we hear the word week after week after week. We have an unveiled face. There's no excuse. We can behold the glory of the Lord just like in a mirror through the scriptures, and then we can be transformed into the same image. From glory of grace, to the glory of possession. Starts with the glory of grace. I don't think God sees me as a better person now as he did then. If I had died then, I would have received the same reward as I'll receive now. But I don't need as much grace anymore. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, the Spirit of the Lord is the one who is working. You remember what Jesus said? He will be with you. He will be in you till the end of the age. I have the same options or opportunities the apostles had to know the scriptures. That's what Paul said. How that by revelation was made known to me, but when you read, you can perceive or have my understanding in the mystery of Christ. The Holy Spirit is working just as hard today, if we let him, through the scriptures as he did in the first century. Keep in mind, the apostles got it by revelation. The rest of them got it the same way we do. The Holy Spirit working in the first century is the Holy Spirit working today. As we read the scriptures, he works in our lives. As we read the scriptures and we ignore them, he can't work in our lives. When that glory is reflected in the home, we'll see a devoted husband using scripture to guide his treatment, considering her his most precious and fragile possession, and treat her with great care and concern and devotion. When the glory is reflected in the church, we see godly, devout Christians walking humbly with their God. And that's going to be the next lesson on the wives. As Christ died for the church, the wife submits as the church submits to the Lord. So as we wind down our lesson, had a lot more slides today, but it went quicker. As we wind down our lesson, what are we going to do with this? Is there any changes that need to be made? If you don't know for sure, go home and ask your wife. How am I doing? Well, a good lesson today. Maybe next week you'll get the slides and go through them one at a time with your wife and see how she feels about it. And if she's not terrified, if she's not afraid that you'll get angry, you might get some good answers. You might have an opportunity to really grow as a Christian and to repent and take care of those things so your prayers will have more power and so you'll get into heaven. You know, when a steward goes before God, how did Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4? It's required of a steward that he be faithful. I am a steward over my wife and over my children. I have a responsibility and I will give an account on the judgment day. So as we pick up our song of encouragement this morning, We have an opportunity here. Great opportunity. You've seen the truth. Let's go home and live it at home. Let's go home and change our lives if we need to. As I say, I think a lot of brethren here have heard this all the time and they already are doing it. But you can't take it for granted. And maybe today you see things a little more clearly than you ever had. And maybe you, matter of fact, on the way to services today, I told my wife, I feel like I've gone through my life blind. I don't think I did, but it feels like it now because I'm growing so much that I look back on what I used to be. And I guess like Paul, you go from ridge to ridge, mountain to mountain. And once you get here, you can't really look back, because if you've noticed that, when you're going up a mountain, as you go over each ridge, you can't really see what you've done. There is a great day coming, bright for some, sad for others. If we want to get there, then you take these things to heart. If there's anything we can do, if you'd like to be baptized today, if you'd like to publicly confess your sins today, you have the opportunity right now to unburden yourself, make yourself right with the Lord. And if you need to do that, let's take advantage of it right now while we sing the song of encouragement.